We might turn again to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. First Peter, chapter 1, reading from verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We have here words given through Peter by the Holy Spirit. And Peter is here seeking to feed the sheep and to feed the lambs as Christ commanded him. And here in this portion, to understand it correctly, here we have, as it were, two different affections or loves is set before us. And there is a contrast. One of these affections is temporary. Temporary love. And the second one of these is a love or an affection that lasts forever. And that is a contrast made in these words. It may not appear so on the surface, but when you begin to examine the words, that is what the context is really setting forth before us. We have here a natural love, and we have a spiritual love. And as the Lord would enable us, we should like to say a little about both. And we have both here in the context. Now, natural love. In verse 23, we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. He's there speaking to God's people who have spiritual love, and he's saying to them, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So we are all born by nature of corruptible seed. The seed of our parents, corruptible seed. And it's a relationship which cannot last. You have that natural love between husband and wife, sister and brother, mother and child, throughout the whole orbit of human relationships, you have this natural love. But the teaching in this portion is that it will not last. It will wither like the grass. You can have a husband and wife who love each other dearly. They may have been married for 60, 70 years, And as I read recently about a couple married for such a long period, and they lay side by side, and they died within a few hours of each other, holding each other's hand, because they loved each other, and it lasted all these years. But they went into eternity, and their thought was that they would be together in eternity, in heaven. That was their thought. This love that they had for each other, that it would be with them there in eternity, and they would love each other and be together for all eternity. But the teaching here is that the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So solemn. If they both knew Christ as their Savior, then they also had a spiritual love for each other and for Christ. And in glory, in heaven, they will be without sin. But the natural love will have gone. It's only for this world. It will have gone. But if they loved each other in Christ, then they will know a love in heaven, without sin, total and pure, which far, by far transcends any love that they ever knew together during their married life. And that love will be for all the people of God in heaven. And it will be for Christ in heaven. But supposing they never went to heaven, and the natural love died. Supposing they went to a lost eternity. It is most solemn, friends. But in a lost eternity, they could only hate each other. It doesn't matter how much they loved each other in this world. The natural relationship has gone. Christ said that they would be in heaven if they went to heaven as the angels of heaven, not marrying or being given in marriage. But supposing they went to a lost eternity, all that will have gone. There is no love of any nature in a lost eternity. None whatsoever. The Holy Spirit will have drawn back. No restraints will be laid upon people there. They will be given over to their own basic principle, which is hatred against God in spiritual terms. Imagine being married 70 years, dying together within a few hours of each other, holding their hands before they entered eternity. And if they did not enter heaven, take it to yourself. Think of a mother who loves her child, who sees her child in danger, perhaps in a fire, perhaps falling into a river. And the mother's love is so strong that she will plunge into the fire or plunge into the river to try and save her child, and both might die. If they went to heaven, the natural mother love will not be there, and the natural love of the child for the mother will not be there, but a far greater love will be there. The spiritual love, the love of Christ flooding the soul if they went to heaven. But just think of it, if they did not, if they went to a lost eternity. Think of what kind of relationship will be there then. No spiritual love, no natural love, nothing left but the basic principle. We were conceived, the womb within, in iniquity and sin. And that's all that is left, going into a lost eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross said to his mother, looking at John, "Woman," he said, and "woman," in these days, the term woman was a term of respect. In our language, sometimes it is used to denigrate. It's not so respectful at times, but in Christ's tongue, it was a term of high respect for his mother. "Woman," he said, "behold thy son." And to John he said, looking at Mary, "Behold thy mother." The relationship between myself and my mother as mother and son is just about to be broken. And I labor with yourself, John. And you keep that relationship for me. But the relationship between Christ and Mary, the spiritual one, was to last forever. That is the great relationship. That is what is praised here. That is what is dwelt upon by Peter. That is what really matters above everything else. That we know Christ as our Savior with a spiritual love, that his own love, which he has for his own people who trust in him, who believe in him, who surrender to him in their hearts, who are set free by him, that love will be in their souls, and death will not be able to quench it. It will go with them into eternity. It is sometimes called the fear of God. And what does the word of God say about the fear of God? That it is pure. The psalmist said that it is pure. And what else does he say? That it endures forever. It endures forever. Well, listen to this. For all flesh is as grass. All flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Whatever it may be, all that belongs to mere humanity in this world, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. It falleth away. But then he goes on to speak of spiritual love. The love that endures. The love that will never perish. And oh friends, to have that love in our hearts. To have it. What a precious thing for a poor sinner to have the love of Christ in his heart. But it is not called here the love of Christ. It is called here the love for the church, the love for our brethren, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, said another, that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. It's given us a mark of grace. They are born again. Born again. But listen again. Being born again. Not the old being born, but being born again. Not of corruptible seed, of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. These people have been born again. And you might say, but when one is born, one doesn't cause himself to be born. Surely that's the work of God. Surely, in being born again, I don't even have a hand in it. You remember the parable of the seed that was sown by the sower, and the various soils on which he cast it. He cast it on the wayside, the beaten path, beaten hard by the feet of men. Came to nothing there. He cast it on soil that was shallow. It had stones underneath, rock underneath. So the soil dried up rapidly. The seed sprang up rapidly, upwards but not downward. No root, just a shoot and no root. It soon withered and died. Other seed among thorns, choked by the world and its cares. But some seed fell on good ground, ground that had been ploughed. Ploughed ground, open soil, hungry soil, waiting for the seed. So what can I do? Be where the seed is. Be among the seed. Be in the word of God. That's the seed here, the incorruptible seed. It will never corrupt you. It will never do you harm. Although there are those who would keep the Bible away from us, and from our children, and from our schools, the word of God will never do you harm. It can only do you eternal good. Be where the seed is, and God can make you good soil to receive the seed, not merely on the surface, not merely in the mind, not merely in the memory, but to receive the seed in a way in which it will root deeply. Soil ploughed by the Holy Spirit. And if you're among the seed, there is great hope that the Lord will plough the soul, will teach you that you are a sinner, and that you need that seed, and you will grasp it eagerly, and it will grow in your soul and be a blessing and produce this wonderful love. In other words, believe in Christ, who is in the gospel, and your soul will be saved. But then, this love that it speaks of here for the brethren, it begins with love for the elder brother. You see, if you love the elder brother, then he is your brother. It's a brotherly love that you have for Christ, as well as love for him as your God and Savior. He is your elder brother. And of course, if you love the elder brother of the family, you love the family, you love the other members of the family. And that is what is set forth so strongly here. As another said, to a Christian meeting him, the Christ in me smiles at the Christ in you. You see, you have to know a person as being a child of God. It's not just because somebody professes to be a child of God that you're meant to love him in this way. We love all men in a manner. We pity them. We desire them all to have the same salvation that we have. We love all men in that manner. Whether they be friends or enemies, we love them all in that manner. But this is a special family love for the brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Christ in me smiles at the Christ in you. I remember one of my elders speaking to the question, and that was the question: we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He said, I cannot love somebody as my brother simply because he says he's a Christian. Let me see Christ in him. Let me see Christ in him. Let me see the elder brother and the other brothers, and then I will love them. But if I cannot see Christ in them, how can I love them as my brother? So let us, if we know Christ, let us seek to glorify the elder brother by following in the steps of the elder brother, by seeking to glorify the elder brother in thought, word, and deed. And then his reflection will be seen in our lives. Let us have fellowship with the people of God and him. But then this applies to those of any color, any race, any denomination, any part of the world. If we see Christ in a man or a woman, we are meant to love them in Christ, and with the same love with which we love Christ. That is what he is setting forth. The Peter to whom Christ said, feed my sheep. The very Peter who, when he had the vision on top of the house and was told about Cornelius the Gentile, and who had seen the vessel coming down full of unclean and clean animals and reptiles and so on, to whom the Lord said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord. That he had never eaten anything unclean. And when Cornelius came, he said that he had never sat down to eat with Gentiles. He had been 3 years with Christ, and yet of his own volition he had never sat down even to eat with Gentiles. But the Lord said, feed my sheep. And Christ, Peter, came to love the Gentiles who had Christ in their soul. It didn't matter where they came from, which church they belonged to. If he saw Christ in them, he loved them. And that is what he teaches by the Holy Spirit to you and to me. That is what he teaches. Yes, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. This is how it came about. They were born again by the word of God. And without the word of God, it does not take place. And that is why it is so important that we have preaching that honors God and his word. It is his word. It is inspired. It is God breathed. It is the word of salvation. It's called the word of salvation. And it is blessed in reading and preaching and meditation. Be among the seed. Be where the word is, friends. that your souls might be saved. These people are born again by the word of God. Yes, the word of God is the incorruptible seed. It will never die. It enters your soul. It doesn't die. It brings about something that is undiable, that is eternal. Yes. And the psalmist spoke about how the Lord loved the truth within them. But then we read in verse 22 where we began, seeing, he says, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Obeying the truth. What is it to obey the truth? Well, what is the truth? The truth is in Jesus, and the truth is in God. And the truth is in the Word of God. And those who obey the truth are those who believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is the beginning of all true obedience, faith. And you have never, never obeyed the Lord, not really in your heart, until you believe in Christ as your Savior. And then, when that takes place, you have obeyed the truth. What a glorious state to be in, to obey the truth. Pilate said to Christ, what is truth? He didn't know what it was. He heard the philosophers. That was his day. His world was full of philosophers, each one spouting forth what the truth was, and how happiness could be obtained, what the chief end of man should be. It was all confusion in the Roman and Greek world. But when the truth stood before him, it says that he turned away from him, saying, what is truth? The poor man, poor Pilate, he never knew what truth was. But if we obey the gospel, we are obeying the truth. And we come to know the truth. And the truth will set us free. That is what the word of God says. Free from the shackles of the devil. Free from the shackles of sin that makes us a slave of sin. Will set us free in Christ. And he whom he frees is free indeed. But listen again. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. They have purified their soul. Now that doesn't mean to say that they have become totally holy. But it means that holiness has entered the soul. When you believe in Christ as your Savior, you are set apart immediately by the Holy Spirit. You are given a new principle, a principle of holiness that is within you. You are set apart and you desire to be holy. You desire to pursue holiness. But that is a lifetime thing, pursuing holiness. But there was a setting apart right away by the Holy Spirit. You were purified. You were saved from the spirit of this world. You were born again when you obeyed the truth. Have you obeyed the truth? Do you understand what I am saying? obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. There you have it. Obeying the truth through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, having blessed the word of God to your soul and made it effectual unto your salvation. The Holy Spirit, oh, the blessed Holy Spirit, who has loved his people with an eternal love, who is God, almighty and everlasting, who brings souls alive, blessing the gospel to them. Be among the seed. Oh, be among the seed, blessing the word to them. And what is the end product here? Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. If they love Christ, they love the brethren. And it's unfeigned love. It's not a false love. It's not a made-up love. Not a love that is in the mouth, but a love that is in the heart. Yes, we sometimes hear the love that is in the mouth. But then the life of that person may show that the love is not in the heart. It's an unfeigned love. It's a true love. It's a heavenly love. It's a spiritual love. As Ruth said, thy people shall be my people. She had never met the Jews, but she meant more than Jews, because she said, thy God, my God. Yes, she came to know God's people, not because she was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. She loved Naomi, we believe, as her mother-in-law. But she came to love Naomi with a spiritual love. And she clave to her. She would not go back to her own people, because now she had the love of the brethren in her heart. And thy people shall be my people. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. No. And it's a wonderful thing when you are brought into the family of God. Unfeigned love of the brethren. And what is Peter teaching? He's teaching that this is something that must be fed. It must be cared for. As you look after a fire, as you look after a child, it is something that you must care for and look after, because it can suffer in many ways. The devil would bring in wedges. Did Paul love Barnabas with this unfeigned love when they quarreled? Perhaps the two godliest men. Perhaps Paul was the godliest, perhaps. Barnabas was a godly man. Man who sold everything, gave up everything to give it to the cause of the Lord. And gave his life to service of the Lord. But they quarreled because of John Mark, Barnabas' nephew, who had left them. When he was supposed to help them to find lodging for them and so on, wherever they went, but fear made them run away. No, the love of Paul for Barnabas could never die. They could quarrel. They could disagree. They were sinners in the flesh, but believers. Lovers of Christ, lovers of each other. So we read here. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that you love one another. That's an injunction laid upon us by the shepherd, Peter the shepherd. And he's speaking to the sheep and he's speaking to the lambs. Do we have lambs? Do we have lambs? Do we have those who have come to believe in Christ not so long ago? Come to know him and to have that in their hearts, who are not able to show themselves openly. We can understand that. But the Lord said to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, see that you love one another. He said, with a pure heart, fervently. See that you love one another. This love is so precious. The devil would seek to spoil it. The world seeks to spoil it. The kind of life that we live means that we're in a multitude of various duties. The things coming and going, and the mass media, and in the world itself. But in the midst of that, see that you love one another with a pure heart. With a pure heart. Praying for God's people. Do you pray for God's people? Do you bring them to the throne of grace? Do you desire them to have a holy walk? Do you pray for that? And he says, with a pure heart, fervently. The word fervently is the same as the word without cease. Praying without cease, and fervently. Something that keeps on bubbling up all the time. Fervent, without cease. That's what he enjoins upon us. That's what the shepherd says. So then we read, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Yes, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And we have the truth in our hearts. The word of the Lord endureth forever. How does the word of God endure forever? Well, the truth endures forever. God endures forever. Christ endures forever. Ah, but there's more to it than that. The word of the Lord that came into your heart, the truth that came into your heart, endures forever. It's blessed for all eternity to you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And because of that, the child of God will go through death. Death cannot touch him. I will give my sheep, says Christ, eternal life. They shall never die. He will lead the sheep through death into glory. And the truth was implanted here. The word of God was blessed. We do not know everything about God. But what happens when a man is born again is that the truth enters the soul. He's given a true knowledge of God. A true knowledge. Until that point, his knowledge is defective. But when he's born again, he has a true knowledge of God. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't know a great deal, but what he does know about the Lord, is true knowledge. And he believes. And that true knowledge is in the soul. And it doesn't matter now what the devil does, he's not going to move it. Adam had the true knowledge of God in his soul, and he was tempted, and he lost that true knowledge. Adam lost it. That's why he hid himself. That's why he fled. He lost it. And what was in the soul then was hatred of the truth. He didn't know the truth. But when Adam was born again, the true knowledge came in. And now this true knowledge can never be taken away. Why? Because it is based upon the finished work of Christ. It has a foundation that is unshakable. And the Holy Spirit is blessing the things of Christ to the soul. They will never perish. They will never lose this knowledge. They will have it, and they will enter heaven, and the knowledge will grow. And you can't have the knowledge of Christ growing in your heart and soul without your love growing. In this world, you can have greater knowledge of someone you love, and the love begins to die because of the increase of knowledge you have regarding that person. But the more you know about Christ, the more the love grows. Fervent love for the brethren. That is the teaching, friends. That is the teaching. But the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. The relationships of this world are like that. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. It endures forever in the heart of the child of God. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's the wonder of it. That's why it's being preached to you, that it might enter your heart as the truth that will endure forever, and that you might know this love, and that you might be with Christ, a heaven full of love, full of love, full of glory. Yes, there are many in this world who seek love, who have loveless lives, many who have no relations, many whose relations have turned their backs upon them. It has all gone sour. Broken marriages, broken relationships. The world is full of that. Parents and children quarreling, and various relationships being broken up in this world. We're subject to that. The grass withers. The flower falls away. If it doesn't fall away during our lives, it will fall away at death. If that's all we have, if that's the only love we have, it will fall away at death. But if the word of God has truly entered our soul, it has produced a love, a spiritual love, that will endure forever. And if I love my brethren in this world, in glory, I will love them. Yes, I will love them indeed in glory. And I will know them all in glory. It could not be a family love unless I would know them all. The Holy Spirit does that for me. I will know them all as I know Christ, the elder brother. And they will all know me. And there will I know, even as I am known. Yes, no longer seeing through a glass darkly. Ah, friends, that's why the gospel is preached. We yearn for your souls. We yearn to see you in Christ, that you might know this wonderful love which is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you not read and hear God so loved the world? Yes, His people who are in the world, that world spread. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious and glorious Lord, we pray thee to bless thy precious word to us. May we know what it is to love thee. May we know what it is to love Christ. May we know what it is to love thy dear people and to desire to be with them, to talk and speak in the language of Canaan, to speak in the language of love, which they have for Christ and which they have for thyself, for thy scriptures, for prayer, for fellowship. Oh, that thou, gracious Lord, would walk among us, and that we might hear thy word. For where the word of a king is, there is power. There is power. Oh, grant, gracious Lord, to bless the teaching of that shepherd, Peter, thou didst send out, which teaching we have been meditating upon this day. Glorify thy great name. Be with us in the evening. Exercise our worship and bless thy worship everywhere among us, to the ends of the earth. Glorify thy great name. Forgive us our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.